Well, good morning to everyone. Please turn with me in your hymnals to number 549 in the red hymnal, and we'll sing the doxology together. Number 717. Do not be worried and upset, Jesus told them. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. You know how to get to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way to get there? Jesus answered him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me, he said to them, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 422, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. Number 422, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. Thank you. not a tenor, so I always struggle with that last word, day, trying to get it right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful to have this time together. And Lord, for some of us, it's been a difficult week. We have overcome different challenges, different situations in our lives that we needed your strength and your guidance, and we put our faith and trust in you. So God, we thank you that you have seen us through those challenges this past week. And God, I would ask that you hear our prayers individually and collectively as a body of believers in Jesus Christ. Because not only do we lift ourselves up in prayer to you, but we lift up each other that is worshiping this morning. And God, it is because we do that, that you give us that spirit of peace. You give us that spirit of understanding. You give us that spirit of compassion. And we praise you for that. We think of the needs of fellow patients throughout this medical center, for family that will be visiting, for the staff that is working today. Lord, we lift up those requests to you as well. And God, we just praise you that we just have this wonderful opportunity to freely worship you based on our faith and conscience. And God, we praise you for that freedom. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 399, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 399, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Where shall its praise begin?
good stuff. Our scripture reading this morning is Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, it is so good to be here worshiping together as your family. And Lord, we are just so thankful that we have this time to pray and read scripture, to sing songs together, to smile and laugh at each other about the different things that take place in our time of worship. And God, we are so grateful, and I'd ask that you'd help me to continue that act of worship. In Christ's name, amen. Well, just the other day, one of my sons, he's into renovating homes. And my grandson was at this home that my son was renovating. And he is 4 years old. And he had to go to the bathroom. And the place where he had to go to the bathroom, the demolition had already taken place around the room that was the bathroom. In fact, the only thing that was left was the 2x4s, right? All the drywall was taken out, the toilet that was there, and the door was still left hanging on the hinges. So he went to the bathroom, and as he was going to the bathroom, he told his mom to close the door for him. Now, you got this picture, right? He's going to the bathroom. The walls have been totally demoed out. All you have are the 2x4s. The door is still in place. He's sitting on the john, and he tells his mom to please close the door for him. You get it now? So my daughter-in-law couldn't resist taking a picture of him sitting on the john through the 2x4s, and the caption, "He told me to close the door." And she posted it on social media, and Lynn was looking at it, and I hadn't seen Lynn laugh so hard in a long time. And I think a lot of times when we look at our own lives, in many ways, we act like my grandson. We see the different needs that we have in our lives, the different wants that we have. We, if you will, are exposed to those that are around us in our lives, but yet we just want someone to close the door, even though everyone can see what is taking place in our lives. And so my grandson, he's a pretty unique individual. He's one of these grandsons that he is a character. He's always getting into trouble, if you know what I mean. In fact, one time, if you are familiar with the stairs outside here, there's a gate around those stairs next to the building here. And somehow he found a way to get through the stairs and was walking up those stairs. And there was no way that we could get to him because we were, and you know what I'm talking about. And so he got and went up those stairs. So he is quite a character in terms of the things that he sees are so important to him. And he doesn't seem to be satisfied until he gets himself into trouble. And are we like that? We don't seem to be satisfied unless we take things to a certain point, to a certain edge, to a certain location, until we find ourselves in a situation that, aha, I'm in trouble now, so now I am satisfied because I've reached that point. We are reminded this morning in our scriptures that regardless of the circumstances that we are in, we are to be satisfied. And as Lynn and I were having discussions about what it means to be satisfied, I think a lot of it also has to do with our personalities in terms of who we are, our character. Now, Lynn is very easily satisfied because, as we talked about last week, she lives in the here and now. And that doesn't mean that she doesn't plan going ahead, but she doesn't plan that far ahead. And she doesn't think about the past. And so consequently, her character is she's very easily satisfied because she's living in the here and now. I, however, I am never truly satisfied because I always want something more. Now, that could be a good quality, but it can also be a bad quality, right? So what I have learned in terms of my satisfaction is when I get the desire to want something more, I have to ask myself a very important question. Why do I want more? Is it because I am unsatisfied with my circumstances? And I would say no. So why am I wanting more? And I got to be honest with myself. I just say, well, I just want more. I can't give you a reason. It's kind of like when we go and we gas up, right? And then we go in to get something to drink, a snack or something, and then we see that the lottery is $250 million, and we're like, well, hey, right? Put a couple of bucks down, right? It's good, right? We justify that, right? Because we want more. Yeah, some of you are smiling, so you know what I'm talking about. So we have that sense in terms of who we are. But yet on a relationship that we have with God, and also a relationship that we have with each other, there needs to be some form of contentment and satisfaction. Because unless we think about that, unless we are conscious of the fact that for those of us that want more and we have a hard time living in the present and we're just never really truly satisfied and we always want the next step, we just need to understand that satisfaction in the present is a good thing. And when you have those desires to want more, ask yourself the question, why? And why does it matter so much to yourself? In other words, why does it matter so much for me that I want more, that I want to go to the next step? Is it for the betterment of myself, the betterment of my family? I can justify it for a variety of reasons. But if I cut through all of those reasons that are superficial, more times than not, it's because it's for my ego, it's for my pride. I want to show others in the world that somehow I am better than they are, right? None of us have this problem, right? But then when I get to the honesty about who I am, God reminds me to be satisfied. And that whatever the circumstances are, whatever the challenges that I have, that I can do all of those things, accomplish all of those tasks that God has laid before me for today on the one who gives me strength. On the one who gives me strength. So for that satisfaction aspect to take place, for that gratification of desires that we have, we need to understand that for many of us, it is not normal for us to be satisfied. We're always longing for that next step. But we are told this morning to take a step back and to think about the times that you have been in want, the times that you have been in need, and the times that you have had plenty. And when I think of that in that context, the best times I had were in the times that I had need, were in the times that I had want. It wasn't in the times that I had plenty. Because when we think about our own lives and we think about the needs that we've had, the wants that we have, You remember in appreciation the things that were provided to you when you were in want, when you were in need. And when you have plenty, you don't reflect on the same way of appreciation in terms of what you have. And we need to consider that. So in your own life and in my life, do we have want or do we have plenty? Because if we have want, we are really thankful for the things that we receive. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily want to be in want or want to be in need. But those times when I have been in want, those times when I've had need, the times when I've had to struggle, I remember the gratefulness of other people that provided for me, provided for my family. And we find ourselves in that situation. And when we are not satisfied, and I mean this in a negative way, when we have that gratification of our desire, our own selfishness, that takes the number one position in our lives, when it is all about us, and you know, and I know, when it's all about me. I know when it's all about me. And how I know that is because nothing ever satisfies. I am frustrated. I am irritable. I am angry. Why? Because when it's all about me, those needs will never be met, right? Right? When it's all about me, the needs will never be met. So if you came to worship this morning, if you came to worship frustrated, if you came to work angry, if you came to worship angry, if you came to worship in just frustrated, if you came to worship wanting more that you know it couldn't be satisfied with unrealistic goals, unrealistic expectations, it is because the me has taken the number one position. And we see that, and it's very difficult for us at times to acknowledge that, right? Because we never want to admit that we're wrong, that we've done something stupid. You know, the scriptures tell us that whoever hates correction is stupid. The Bible actually says that in a translation. Whoever hates correction is stupid. I have been stupid at times in my life because I hated correction. I didn't want anybody to change anything about me. But the Bible says a person that hates correction is stupid. Because when we occupy the number one position, when it's all about me, we have to admit to ourselves that nothing that we're doing, nothing that we will be a part of, will ever satisfy us as long as it's about me. And so if it is only about me, then we can really not access the spiritual help, the spiritual strength, the spiritual encouragement that God wants to provide to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because how can that be taking place in our lives if it's all about me? And even though we know all these things, and even though we say all these things, even though we look in the mirror and we say, yes, it is about me, what makes us change? What makes us to have the desire to know that we can live without being me in the number one position? Think about the times when you have put others in front of you. What did you experience? If you've never done that, then this example is not going to help you because it's still all about you. But when you put someone else in the number one position, when it's someone else, something else other than me, then you begin to see things in a very clear way. And what is the measure of that? Is when you find yourself being satisfied in the situation that you are in. So in other words, we know that when we put ourselves, me, in the number one position, we know that regardless of what we're doing, regardless of what we are experiencing, we will never be satisfied. But if we put others in front of me, then all of a sudden our lives become more satisfying in terms of what we're doing. Does that make sense? Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I believe all of us have experienced those moments when we have put others in front of ourselves, and all of a sudden we found a sense of contentment and satisfaction that we could not explain. And there we find ourselves being in content, being satisfied, because we are allowing the presence of the Lord to work in our lives, to give us that strength that we need to no longer put ourselves in the number one position, but to put others. And then we have that sense of satisfaction. We learn from it. We experience the peace of our relationship that we have with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We experience the joy. C.S. Lewis once said that one of heaven's tasks is to provide us joy in our lives. And I would agree with that. But we can only find that joy that God wants us to have when we put others first, when we put our relationship with God first. And then we can see and understand how the presence of Christ in our lives gives us that strength that we need to have to deal with those circumstances, to deal with those challenges. Because the number one threat in our lives is not something that's without. It's something that is within ourselves. I know for me, I am my worst enemy. There was no one else that can be more critical of me than me, right? So there's so much benefit of us putting ourselves no longer in the first position, because we are our worst enemies. We judge ourselves very harshly. We judge ourselves very critically. We judge ourselves in such a way that we just have a hard time forgiving ourselves, because we know who we are inside. But that is where the difference takes place when we walk with God. Because when we have God in front of ourselves, when we have others in front of ourselves, we see the grace and the mercy that God has provided each and every one of us because of that relationship. And we sense that satisfaction. And when we have that, when we sense that satisfaction, then all of the other relationships that we have with other people, with God, just seems to go along a lot more smoother. It doesn't mean that it takes away challenges. It doesn't mean that it takes away frustrations. Later on today, Lynn's mom and dad, my mother and father-in-law, they're going to be celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. And it's going to be a joyous occasion. But there are relatives that I really, truly don't want to see that I'm going to be seeing. Right? Being honest with you. And I'm like, okay, God, how do I deal with this? And it's just following what we have just been talking about. Putting God first, putting them first, ouch, and then putting me somewhere else down on the line there. Because then I will have a good time, right? then I will be able to get along, right? It's one of my favorite sayings we've talked about here. You can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Remember that? But it's in that sense that we want to be fulfilled. And we do that in such a way that we are just satisfied with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. It doesn't mean that we don't want to make things better. It's just understanding that as long as that better is not about you, right? Because in doing that, we see ourselves in a different way. And we show humility. We are humble. And if you remember what we've talked about regarding humility is when we have the power to act upon something in a situation and we choose not to do so. That is true humility. Humility is not this meek and mild, you can walk on me like a doormat. Humility is you have the power to exercise something in a certain circumstance, to change something, to make a difference, and you choose not to for the betterment of others instead of yourself. That is humility. That is being humble. And when we do that, we have this sense of satisfaction. And it's a sense of satisfaction that's not about self-righteousness. It's not about the fact that, ha-ha, I am better than you because... No. That self-satisfaction that comes from our walk with God. That self-satisfaction that as we are walking with God, it gives us inspiration. It gives us the desire to want to do more. Understanding that it is the Spirit of God that indwells you and indwells me. And we see the presence of God, not because of something that we have done, but because of God's grace, God's mercy, God's compassion. And then we find ourselves in these different challenges, but yet we can sense the presence of God's love in our lives. And it gives us comfort. It gives us comfort. I guarantee you I will have an example from this afternoon's event that I will share with you next week. And I believe it'll be a good one. Yeah, she's laughing. But in that sense, we have that comfort in knowing God. And we understand that it is the Lordship of Christ in our lives that controls who we are, controls our action, controls our love, controls our character. And as much as I'd like to say to you everything's going to turn out perfect this afternoon, I know that it won't. But you see, that's okay, right? There's certain circumstances in our lives that perfection will never take place. And that is okay. But what I do want to see from myself, as I think about myself and I'm being critical about myself, is I want to show grace and mercy to others, not to be superior, not to be condescending, but just to be the way that God wants me to be in those circumstances. Because then we have that satisfaction. We have that contentment, regardless of what the circumstances are. For you see then, the desires that we have in our lives, the things that we want to accomplish, become legitimate because they are honoring God. They become the things that we want to do in all things, is to honor God. And when we look at it from that perspective, when we see things the way that we want God to see things in our lives, in terms of the perspective of who's first, who's second, who's third, who's fourth, and then we have that satisfaction that is appropriate for the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves grateful for all the things that God has given us in our lives. We have a heart full of thankfulness. We have a thankfulness for those relationships that present challenges to us. Somebody told me a long time ago, look at challenges as an opportunity. So as I go forth into this afternoon, I will look forward to those challenges as opportunities. Opportunities for grace and mercy to be shown. To reflect the things that God has provided me, that God has provided you, and the relationships that we come in contact with. So it is my hope and prayer that as you go forth for the rest of this day, this coming week, that you look for those opportunities that perhaps might be challenges, but opportunities for you to see God in those circumstances. To see God in those circumstances where we can understand God has made me and provided with to me a grateful heart and a grateful spirit. And God has given me that grace and that mercy and that love. And I am going to show it to others because I will not be in number one position. God will be. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we partake together as one body of believers in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful and we are so grateful. We are so satisfied. We have so much content in our lives because we have put you first. We have put others ahead of ourselves, and we see the peace and the joy that you want us to have. And so, God, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we can share communion together. Remind us, God, that you have provided us that grace and that mercy and that compassion to show to others as you have shown to us. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and allowing us to publicly demonstrate our love to you. In Christ's name, amen. I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 389, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Before God, just as we are in all of those circumstances. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us what to do to be content and to be satisfied wherever we are in life. And God, we want to put you first and foremost so that we can have that contentment and that satisfaction. Help us now, God, we pray. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.